Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Listen in as we discuss all things business, growth, and marketing with business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs. And now, here's your host, founder of Roundhouse, the creative agency, Saul Edmonds.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Today, I am speaking with Jose Ucar. How are you, Jose?
Well, I'm very good. How are you? It is a pleasure to be on your podcast, and I think this is going to be a fun episode.
Yes, I think so. I have a feeling. I have a good feeling about this, Jose. So where are you calling from in the world today?
I'm near London in the UK, a city called Woking. I would say about 45 minutes by train.
Woking,
give or take.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice place.
It is quite green around here compared to the city. I was about to crack a joke. It is not walking distance, but hey, that's not a very good one from London.
And yeah, that's or it's not walking distance.
No, it isn't. It actually train or car distance.
Yes, very good. A classic. I'm picturing a classic English countryside at the moment, and you walking hand in hand with a fair maiden with an umbrella.
Well, my friend, you're not far. Definitely need the umbrella, especially nowadays, because it's been pouring down day in and day out. So yeah, definitely the umbrella by the countryside. Why not having a cup of tea, mate?
Yeah, cup of tea. No, you as a crossover of cultural norms there, it's the cup of tea is the British thing, and the mate's the Aussie thing.
Yeah. Mate. we're still mates, regardless. Or amigos, as we would say in Spanish.
Amigos, exactly.
Yeah.
Amigos. I always liked that word. It's very expressive of its meaning for some reason.
Yeah, it is friendly, you know, amigos.
Yeah.
It is amigos. A friendly word.
Yeah.
Amigos.
Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it as well, even if they can't speak the language.
It's gone international, that one. Amigos.
So tell
the two amigos, the three amigos. Yeah, over to you, brother.
Okay. So tell everyone a little bit about yourself for those people who haven't seen you online, who haven't seen your TEDx talk.
It is a one talk, and I've been, there are some other videos because I've been hosting a couple of, well, actually two, three TEDx up in the north of England. So that's probably where you've seen some additional videos, but TEDx, that's me speaking one.
Sure. Okay, so tell everyone about what you get up to. Like, what's your thing in the world? What's your main sort of driving force that you like to get out there? Your main message.
Look, my main message is about, I would say, international communication, but then international communication represents the means to build incredible international connections. So it's all about building great relationships worldwide. I have a say, which is influence without borders. That's something that I always encourage leaders and even non-leaders that work in international organizations, is just to work on their influence, their ability to positively influence people, regardless of their location in the world, regardless of the culture, and even regardless of the language. Mm. So that is my message. That is what I work on a daily basis, delivering talks, coaching, and training.
Mm. And so the actual origin story too, this is the part that, like, the whole thing's interesting, but I'm always especially interested in how did you come to this point? Like, I know it's often like a mix of sort of happy accident and things that you liked or the type of person you are, and you ended up getting into it through some other means. But what's your, if we're going to say like origin story as to how you came to this point, what were you doing beforehand and how did you get here? What road did you take?
Wow. I've taken many roads. Yeah, many of them, and I made lots of mistakes, but I'm going to try and summarize this in three to four areas, I'm going to say, of my life or times. And I have no idea why I said this to my mom when I was 5, but I still remember having a conversation with my mom and saying to her, "Mom, I want to travel the world. I want to be international. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me where it came from. I've been thinking about it." And back then, we're looking at 1985, 86 in Venezuela. Most of our toys were coming from the US back then.
Mm.
So that could be something, since I was getting good toys from America every now and then, and they weren't coming every time because, you know, they were a bit rare, at least for my family. They couldn't afford many toys for myself. I guess there is something in there. Mm. So I would say that's the very beginning of it. Then that got me onto this path of wanting to travel. So when I turned 16, after incredible efforts from my parents, my grandparents, and some members of my family, I managed to travel to Sweden as an exchange student. I lived in Sweden for a year, and that experience really, well, I would say, transformed my life, and it gave me this global perspective that supports my message today.
Mm.
It's been part of me since then. Of course, after Sweden, it's kind of the second stage, you know, on my journey. Then I went back to Venezuela, and when I graduated in international business, hey, makes sense. I then moved to Spain. What I wanted to do back then, so, was to work in international business. Again, of course, I worked for a multinational or a business. I didn't care too much about the size of the business as long as they would enable me to travel or allow me to travel. So I lived in Spain for a while. I met an incredible guy whom I speak about often. His name is Alan. He gave me the opportunity to work in the UK. So I was living in Spain. We met. He invited me for an interview. And that's how I really started with the whole international business scene. I worked in marketing. I worked in sales. I started packing boxes for this business. And 10 years later, I was the marketing manager for Europe and taking care of some business development worldwide. But here's the thing. All of those roads, you know, sound okay, good, positive. Then a divorce happened. And everything that I had built up to that point kind of crumbled. And most of those things, came down and disappeared. And that led me onto this self-discovery journey, personal development, where I got very interested in neurolinguistic programming. I got very interested in everything that had to do with communication, mindset, how we perceive our reality, how we interact with others, how we think about things in general.
Mm.
And since that moment, I've been working on my communication in order to be a better communicator, but also to help others to communicate more effectively. Because I believe that if you learn how to communicate with others, I mean, you become a very, I'm not going to say powerful, although there is a level of power in there, but you will become a very influential individual. And if you use that influence to support others, to leave people better off, I think that is an important contribution, and there is a magnifying effect or the ripple effect as to, you know, the people I impact, they go and impact others. And those will impact more. And that's my beginning, and that's where I'm going.
That's a great sort of run through of it. And I would 100% agree. I think communication is apart from being so important, I always feel like good communication, when people think about the importance, is one of those things that they kind of underestimate, that people go, everyone knows that it's really important, right? You know, I mean, no one, I don't think anyone would ever say, no, that's completely wrong, Jose. That's like, that just isn't true. Like, everyone would readily accept and go, yeah, it's important for good skills to be able to communicate, or how, why, with whom, when, et cetera. And then especially across, you know, it's very clear for a lot of people when they're working with other people overseas, if they're working with a development team or just other people, that it's important because it's obvious, because issues crop up. And so they can see it very clearly, but I always feel that it's underestimated, like how important. Then I think probably what you can expand upon too is, because I imagine a range of people listening might be going, okay, so what are some of these things that are, you know, really lift your game in terms of becoming a better communicator to, you know, especially on the global stage, like you're talking about too. Because the first thing when I knew we were going to be speaking, I was thinking about, my mind like started to, you know, run through all sorts of things that potentially Jose was going to, like, you know, what does that actually mean? Is it really specific things? Is it very broad things? So maybe you can sort of, I guess, start by touching on what that means, like say for somebody specifically in a certain sort of business, when they, so I'll give you like a scenario, like say somebody somebody isn't used to, they're generally regarded by all their English speaking friends, say for example, as like a pretty good communicator, nice person. You know, there's nothing, they're quite good at what they do, pretty experienced, but they haven't had any experience much at all with working with people over in like the Philippines or in Eastern Europe or sort of wherever, you know, and they come across for the first time and they get very frustrated. Like, what's like some of, in terms of the language barrier, but like different cultural norms that they don't understand. What's some of the first things that you know, you as a coach and a trainer would be speaking to them about?
Well, where do I start with this? Communication, taking it back a little bit, it is a big label that people throw around.
Yeah.
And we all know it's important. What I'm going, any of us, I'm going to generalize, and the listeners can relate or not. I may say, yes, or say you're right or you're wrong. Happy to have a discussion on that as well.
Yeah.
But we don't invest the time to become great communicators. What do I mean by this? Communication, for me and in my approach, starts within. It all starts in our ability to be flexible in how we understand our reality and the reality of the other person. We live in fast-paced environments, especially when we're speaking about business. And then we tend to be, okay, people listen, when you're listening to this, I mean, we tend to be, I generalize, but of course, not all the time, but we tend to be in our own head. We have our plans, we have the things we want to do. And then from that point of view or map of the world or perception, we go and communicate. Imagine I'm communicating with Saul, and Saul has got his own things going on in his head. So what's happening? Of course, communication won't take place because Jose is up here and Saul is up here. So what happens? Hey, we keep on missing each other, really, okay? This is an extreme situation.
Yeah.
So when we become more intentional, and I'm going to share some things that I will invite people to do, is then find a way to look for that alignment, okay? And there are different ways to start finding that alignment. One of those And I'm going to start with something that I call my, well, I have the Simpler acronym, okay? Simpler acronym, which works really well, especially for some of those examples. I'm Venezuelan, and I'm going to be communicating with Saul, who is in Australia. And then we're going to be communicating with another partner who is, imagine, in the Philippines. And then we've got another person that is in Scandinavia, okay? Mm. Well, the first thing I will always invite people to do, remember, we're in our own head. We're rushing. We don't take the time. Mm. The first thing is to slow down. Slow down our thinking, especially, of course, when we're going to communicate, and especially when we're going to communicate with a person that we are not used to communicating with. Slow down your thinking. Slow down your speaking. Mm. Both. Generally, when you slow down your thinking, you may change your pace as well. Communication, that's the S of the Simpler. Then communication, I always say, it has to be intentional. It is important that we have an intention. Even if it changes, it's important that if I'm going to be speaking on this podcast today, that I prepare, that I know what I'm going to be speaking about, that I have in mind what I want the audience to walk away with. Intention, that's the second thing. We just go and communicate. We don't take the time to prepare. We don't take the time to think, hey, if I'm going to be communicating with this person in Malaysia or in Australia, what kind of things can I come across in order to be ready? Even if you're not ready, at least you will be more flexible and you will be more adaptable. Mm. Okay? Then the M of that Simpler is the multicultural lens. You don't need to know all the cultures. You don't need to know all the nuances. But if you go open, knowing that you're going to find things that are different, knowing that you're going to find things that are similar, knowing that you're going to find things that you don't even understand, mm-hmm. knowing that you are not even going to find things because they're so remote for you that you just don't know what you don't know. But by having that multicultural lens, you're more open. You're more curious, which is key in communication. Mm. Then another one, preconceptions. That would be the P of the Simpler. Preconceptions. We all have preconceptions. Mm. We all have preconceptions when we hear an accent. We have preconceptions based on our experiences with people with certain accents or with people from certain nationalities. Based, you know, on everything that we've been through in our lives, we have preconceptions. So when we come into communication, we bring our preconceptions, but we can begin to challenge them as well. Mm. That's why slowing down is so important. That's why curiosity is so important. That's why focusing on the other person, being intentional, which then leads to the L. And I'm getting there, so bear with me, people.
I'm here.
I hope you're writing this down.
I'm here. Perfect.
He's still there. He's still there.
I'm listening, not communicating. I'm listening.
Hey, that's one of the best things you can do as well. So
L,
a good listener
L?
Is a good communicator. Well, the L could be for listening. So I'm going to give that one to Saul. Listening for the L.
All right.
But also for language. Okay? And you will wonder, what do you mean by language? Hey, if you're speaking English, which is the most international language at the moment, especially in business, make sure you don't bring in slangs or you make it overcomplicated.
Mm.
And be mindful of the level of the other person, because if the other person is fluent, hey, great. But I will never forget one of my first meetings in the UK. After half an hour, I left that meeting having understood nothing, and no one noticed. And if they did, they maybe thought I wasn't very clever. Yeah, but that's not the point. Let me wrap this up. The E of the Simpler model or acronym, the E is for energetic engagement. And it's not about shouting or getting overexcited, having that energy, that enthusiasm when you speak to another human being. There is something that we don't even understand that will create that connection, similar to a good humor, purposeful humor. And finally, and I'm done with it, is the R for reflection and reframe. Once the communication has taken place, whether it went good or not, at the end, you can always reflect, because that's the best way to learn. Analyze how the process went, whether the outcome is what you expected, what went wrong, and then improve. And then the reframe, this is a neurolinguistic programming term. It's about changing the meaning of the experience. If it wasn't what you expected and you're not feeling very good, you can begin to change the, well, the meaning or how you feel about that. An example, when I lived in Spain, Seoul, at the very beginning, a lot of people would ask me, where are you from? Because in a way they were curious. Back then for me, going back to reframing, I felt like it was an intrusion. Why would you ask me where I'm from? Leave me alone. I mean, just talk to me without asking me. Until I started reframing that into, hey, they're probably curious. Whether they were curious or not, that really helped me deal with those situations differently. So there is always the opportunity to change your thinking about a situation. And I hope, Saul, an audience, I've given you plenty in terms of how to communicate internationally. The SIPLER acronym by Jose Ucar.
It was very intentional. It was very intentional. And I noticed as well specifically as you were talking about slowing down, that you already do that. That when you're speaking to when we were speaking before, you have a different sort of slightly longer pause in like when you're speaking. And I noticed that before. And there's something about that. I mean, I don't know. I've never really thought about it until then. We're obviously talking about communication. So now I'm thinking about it and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And I straight away was like, oh, Jose is speaking in this sort of way. And I wonder then too, like when you're, just getting back to preconceptions and the last point you were, making in SIPLER about, reflecting on it. And you then realizing with the story that you just had about, you know, someone asking you like, where are you from? And then you going, maybe they're just curious. That's for me, I was like, oh, that's obviously that sort of seemed to me straight away linked very closely to preconception, because then you're having a preconception about that they're asking because, you know, they're being intrusive or because of something, but then reflecting on it is able to, I guess, kind of combat in a way preconceptions too, because like it's like a bit of a loop, right? You know, is you could go, I've got a preconception, which you're right. I mean, we all do. I find I have to combat that unwittingly. I don't even realize I'm doing it, but you have a preconception based on whatever, like Hollywood or just some movie or, you know, if you got a preconception, sometimes it's not based on like years of like speaking with Venezuelans, you know, or like speaking with like heaps of people. Yeah. It's just on what you know. It might just be like a movie where you saw like a German once, you know, and someone's like, oh, geez, wait, this was the fact, you know, and you're like, oh, that's, you know, I mean, that's a silly example, but it's kind of true.
But it's, yeah.
It's kind of true, you know. It's kind of true, and then you meet another German, and you're like, "Oh, that doesn't match with this like preconception, which is a silly one." But you still had it, despite that, and then that meets reality, and it's either sometimes a shock, or it's not, or it's like, "Oh, refreshing," or you don't really think about it that much. But it's interesting because then that automatically, you know, reflection then has the ability to change. So I thought that was a good and also a logical one at the end of SIPLER too, because that's at the end and you are reflecting at the end.
So I'm glad you liked it and thank you for expanding on it. Makes a lot of sense. Look, it took me a year to come up with this, so I'm glad you liked it.
It's good. Yeah. I like a good acronym, and I like, especially when it's got a little, almost like a little narrative in it, like the logical steps of having a conversation, which is obviously the intention behind it as well. You know, that in intentional, that seems to be a word that I hear more and more different people talking about, and for good reason too. Because it's, you know, it's obviously very important to have that right in intention, isn't it? Like how important how important do you, like, say, especially when, you know, not specifically like a business leader or business owner, but, you know, people say at a higher level in a business, given what we're talking about with communication, how important, at what kind of level would you say having that really true intention about everything that you're doing, how important is that for those people in particular?
So you mean for high executives?
Yeah, yeah.
Leaders.
Or the business owner who, when they're discussing things with their team and given other things we're talking about across cross-cultural.
Well, intention gives you direction. And when we are communicating and when we are leading, when we're taking people, when we're influencing others, we're taking people to change something about themselves or move towards something, it is important to have clarity as well. So intention gives you direction and also clarity in terms as to where you're going. Again, things change, but then if you always looking for that something, fine-tuning what you want to get out of things, where you want to go, then that intention is always being refined. It will also help with resilience. But then I know, I mean, we can have whatever intention we want, so, and then life comes from different angles and hits us and shakes us. And but then instead of being what I like to call in Spanish, that little feather being blown by the wind, we can still be blown by the wind, but what that intention will give us is a bit of an anchor. Hey, so we come back to, you know, a different place where we anchor ourselves again. Come on, bring it on. And when the wind blows again, whoa, off we go. But we got a little bit of an anchor. So, okay, come on. It's a bit of putting up, you know, a bit of a fight or certain resistance or
sort of ebb and flow.
Direction and,
Yeah, I like that. I like that visual. Yeah, I like that visual too, because it's not like it'd be different if you said I'm like sitting in the ocean and the ocean's like bobbing around and I have to grab onto something, because that feels more sort of chaotic. But, you know, having like the wind sort of blowing you around and then sort of anchoring down on some point. I like that visual. I almost feel like, because as you were describing simpler, like I said before, I was sort of running through different scenarios in my head. I almost feel like is there a point where, or even related to parts of simpler with C for connection, like the importance of a connection to somebody? Because, you know, like that when you, you know, if it's like, hey, I play, you know, this sport, and the other person's like, and they come from a different culture, and there might be a few, you know, things happening where you're not initially communicating that well. But as soon as there's a different sort of personal connection, that seems to, in my experience anyway, it often seems to dissipate other barriers. Somehow magically, it seems to kind of, you know, you're like, I'm from here. I play the sport, or I'm really into, actually, like a great example was actually just with me yesterday. Not that I would have had any problem. Probably I'm speaking with this person anyway. We would have, you know, still had a great conversation, but we found out it was a guy that, I talked to who's a personal trainer. And he was saying, I do this, this, and this. And he's like, and I'm a blacksmith. And I was like, a blacksmith? And I was like, wow, that's cool. And I said, yeah, I'm really into the reenactment sort of scene. And straight away, my wife and I and my son, we really like medieval things. And there's a big medieval festival every year here in near Brisbane. That's the biggest one in the Southern Hemisphere, the Abbey Medieval Festival. And I was like, oh, you would be involved in that. And it was like, oh, yeah. And then we had this whole part of the conversation about all these things relating to that. So that was like right accidentally at this part of the conversation. And I latched onto this thing because you don't meet too many blacksmiths. I was like, that is amazing. And we had this conversation. And because I was imagining him straight away, like working over a forge with a hammer, like, kling, kling. And then I was like, well, that obviously relates to, and he was like, yes, I go there all the time. Like, we've been going there for like, you know, since my son's like 6 years old. And, but you know, the power of that, like, do you come across or what do you have to say about like the importance of things like that in this whole scheme of things?
Look, I think you're speaking, the way I'm understanding it is finding a bit of a common ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So whenever we establish a conversation, and of course, the simpler and some of these acronyms in communication, the process is never a 1, 2, 3. It's never linear. Mm. So, you know, if you go up and down, it's similar to, you know, again, the metaphor of the feather or the leaf being blown by the wind, and you come back and then, you know, it's very kind of wiggly. Mm. Is it wiggly, squiggly? Mm. One of those words anyway. Mm. So, of course, you're having a conversation. You find that moment, that commonality, or that's something that's interesting you, and then another level of connection develops. But then what happens? There's more enthusiasm. There's further curiosity. It kicks something in within you. That's great. And that's very good. At the same time, what I invite people to do is when that doesn't happen and what you're finding are more differences and things that are the opposite to you, get even more curious about that. Mm. Don't just respect the difference. Appreciate it. Enjoy it. Mm. Be curious. Be amused by it. Because if you think about it, that's where further growth and discovery can take place. Because you're beginning to engage with a person that's very different to you. That will definitely open up new things for you that you never thought about. Mm. So look for the common ground. And eventually with that person, there will be some commonalities as well. But the thing is, we cannot gauge this. We cannot. Now, I'm going to be meeting Saul, and he's going to say he's from Australia, and I'm going to say that I've got my family there. Oh, that's a common ground element. But it could have been the opposite. How do we deal with that then, right?
Mm. Hey, yeah.
How do we explore the things that are different?
I've heard Australia's a nice place. And then that's right. The curiosity to find things out is it almost like the ability to open more doors? You know, like you're walking into a house and you go through the front door, but like you really don't have any interest. Like you're really into hallways. You love hallways for some strange reason. And like you're walking, you've got like a hallway fetish, for example. And you just walk up the hallway and you're just like, well, this hallway is incredible. But you have no interest at all in like looking up the other ones because your focus is on the hallway. I don't know why I said hallway. That sounds.
Well, I mean, it's probably the hallway and you're focusing at, you know, you're looking at the end of that hallway and you're not looking at the paintings on the sides, for example, you know.
Or the
that
doors.
Could be another example.
Yeah, yeah, or the doors. Yeah. There's all these like doors that go off into all the others. And it's a huge house. You know, it's like a mansion, for example. It's a huge place. And there's quite clearly a lot of other incredible stuff in there that's like probably like that you got no idea about. And, but yeah, it's like, I don't need to do that. I love this hallway. I'm just going to check this out for, you know, 3 hours. And I'm just going to sit in there and you have no curiosity to do it. But you know, that's so it's kind of, you know, it's a blockade against the potential, I guess, because you obviously don't know. It's like when you meet somebody, you don't know the potential of like what you could connect to them about. And that's kind of the irony that I always find, especially even speaking on this podcast, speaking to people in general, I'm like constantly, like literally constantly surprised as to how many things I end up having in common with perfect strangers. Really, it's really constantly surprises me, like, which I guess it shouldn't really surprise me, but it's just that, like, you go, like, I'm speaking to you now. I've never met her, say, before. I never met that guy yesterday before. And then all of a sudden, because you, I guess, want to know more, like, I guess I could have had the choice yesterday to privately go, oh, in my mind, oh, that's interesting that he's a blacksmith. That's interesting. And not say anything. And could have just kept on going and asking about something else, right? And that would have been fine too. But, yeah, then it was just, I was straight away. I couldn't help myself. I was like, wow, that's incredible. You're a blacksmith. And that, you know, because I love all this other stuff myself too, I wanted to know more straight away. So, but tell us a little bit about also your, like, it's a safe bet that your book is about everything we've been talking about. But is there something in particular then to about things in your book that has got, like, another particular angle or slant that you'd like to tell people about?
Yeah, absolutely. The book called Global Influence touches on what I've been sharing and what I spoke about at the very beginning. It's about the influence beyond borders, the ability to work on our communication proactively in order, going back to what you said, Saul, which is very important, in order to build connections. And one of my premises in the book, I like to say, look, it can take years to learn a language and fully understand a culture. But it can only take minutes to build a deep human connection, okay? Or to start to create a deep human connection. And then from that premise, of course, there is the simpler, there are different elements in there. I focus a lot on direct but empathetic communication. I like, in terms, especially when it comes to business, being direct, but then deeply caring for people. That's one of the things I touch on, how to deliver feedback in a way that develops people, in a way that provides direction and clarity. I speak about coaching as the ability to really empower people. And for many of you, coaching is a word that you use, similar to communication, but then it's about making it, turning it into a verb. Some of the things we've spoken about here, that curiosity, that excitement, that willingness to discover about the other person, is one of the keys to effective coaching. And the third pillar is your ability to deal with difficult conversations, deal with conflict, manage conflict and disagreements effectively. That's one of the keys. If we combine it with the simpler and some other frameworks that I have within the book, if you master your ability to communicate directly while caring, the ability to coach people, to have that balance between, you know, pushing information and pulling information from them, and then dealing with conflict effectively, you will become an incredible communicator. Not just that, it's not just the communication. Think about your mental structure, how it will impact your mindset when you are actually have the ability to self-regulate. I'm speaking about regulating your emotions and having the courage to present your points adapted to the other person. That is just powerful. And that's something that you don't achieve overnight. You will never be done with it. But that's a journey you can decide to embark on. And then you can begin to speak about communication and improving your communication because you're being proactive with it. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's another element of global influence.
Yeah, no, that's really fascinating. How important is just practice too? Just doing it a lot. Just actually, you know, it's like, I mean, I guess everyone once again too would probably, I assume, agree with this because it seems like one of those natural assumptions that everyone just knows is true. Like everyone knows in sport, just getting back to sport again. I always find the analogy of sport, because especially if you're doing little, you know, like a game or something, it's like a little microcosm of life. You know, you go through, like often in a game of almost anything, there's all these, like, it's like a condensed version of, you know, different larger long-term experiences you go through, but you get the chance to be able to sort of see it in this little snapshot. I always find that really valuable. But like the idea that everyone knows, like, that you've got to be good at that, you have to practice. You've got to just repeat like the same things over and over again. So it's obviously the same with this, right? Is you just got to do it not necessarily always the right way, because you're getting better at it, you know, as you go, but you do have to do it a lot, right? Don't you?
Yeah. You do it a lot. Also, dare to fail and learn from your mistakes as quick as you can. Again, measure the impact of some of the mistakes you can make, because I don't want you to go hurting people. Oh, I made a mistake and that's it. Still, if you say something wrong, have the vulnerability and the authenticity to apologize. That's also very important. But yes, so practice. Practice, dare to fail, make mistakes along the process, recover from them, you know, quicker, and keep on applying this. What happens generally? We are lazy. We are lazy with many things. We get comfortable with our status quo, and then we, you know, think twice about, you know, getting out of our comfort zone or stretching, as I like to call it, stretching ourselves more often. So we get complacent, and that's where, you know, dreams go to die, when we get to that point. And I'm not going to say, yeah, think about it. I mean, it's just like, hey, this is it. I'm complacent. That's the end of the road. Hey, there is always something else, but it takes effort. We need to deal, you know, with our mindset, with our fears. But here I'm going to give something that may inspire our listeners a bit more. If you want to improve your communication, if you want to improve things in your life, work on three things, okay? Or develop these traits. One, become a human explorer. This is about self-awareness. Explore yourself. That's why reflection is so important. Learn about yourself day in and day out. Find about those things that you can change. At the same time, and also about the things, you know, you can accept about yourself. That's also important. And appreciation, all of that, the human explorer. But do the same with other people. That curiosity that we've been speaking about. So become that human explorer, number one. Number two, become an ongoing, a lifelong learner. It's not about reading 200 books a month. Just dedicate time to learn a little bit every day. Now think about the amount of learning you will achieve in 365 days or 360. Mm. And then think about the impact of that in 10 years' time. Okay? Tiny bits. And finally, number three, be a stretcher. Become a stretcher. That person that is always, you know, getting out of the comfort zone, trying new things, experimenting, daring to fail, dealing with their fears and doing it anyway. So be a human explorer, you know, a lifelong learner, and stretch yourself more often. There we go, people. Don't say no to me, because then I'll say you're lazy.
Mind coach. Yeah, I mean, there's a having flexibility of mind then to
stretching. Did you say mind coach?
Mind coach.
As in mine or mine, as in mine. Well, anyway.
Mind coach or mind coach, like meiner if you're German, meiner coach.
Yeah, meiner coach.
Yeah. So how important is, I guess, with the being a human explorer and self-improvement, where does the level of importance of then communicating with a lot of different sort of people and you seeing their response to what you're saying, but part of the self-reflection, Because it's obviously a two-way street, right? Like you're talking to somebody and there's a ebb and flow and you're understanding and you're listening and you're learning. So I sort of imagine, I guess from past experience too, that listening and wanting, first of all, like having the willingness to do that, because you've got to have that, because if you don't have that, well, you don't have anything really, do you? You got to actually want to, you know, because otherwise you're just sort of pretending, you know. And yeah. And I think most people can tell too, you know, you don't have to be a super aware kind of person or really in touch with other people's feelings to know when somebody isn't really interested, you know, they're gonna actually tell. But like feeding off how other people respond to what you're saying, if you're reflecting, how important is that in that whole self-improvement piece?
So what do you mean? Gauging how the message is landing for the other person?
Yeah, seeing what the responses are just over time, and not just letting people respond, but like, you know, you say something and their response is, I mean, whatever it is, like actually seeing what that is and, you know, if it's positive or negative or neutral, like how important is that for your input overall time in the whole self-reflection part of what we're talking about, of you actually seeing like what the response is, because it's a two-way street. And you're going, and you know, it's not just you saying stuff and then somebody responds like like they're not a person. It's obviously like a ebb and flow in a conversation.
Yeah. Well, so there's one thing here. And when it comes to communication, yes, I mean, it takes place, you know, in this case, if there's two people, it takes place between two people, back and forth. Great. I am of the belief that we are in charge of our communication, okay? We cannot change the other person. We cannot change how the other person is interpreting our message.
Hmm.
But if the message is not landing, if not getting to the person in the way in which we expect, then if we take ownership of our communication, then we can change how we deliver that message. We can become more adaptable. We can tailor our message and experiment and see if we get another reaction.
Mm.
This is not always possible, but then as communicators, it gives us more flexibility. You will also find that there will be the people that is more open and is also more willing to change and to listen, and potentially you will have a greater impact. There will be the people that won't listen, won't connect with some of the things you say, and that is also okay. Because we cannot win them all, and that will happen, and it's okay. Still, you can use it as a self-reflection piece in order to understand, is there anything else I could have done? But on occasions, you've just done the best you could, and that's also okay.
Sure.
You need a break every now and then. Otherwise, you'll go crazy.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
No, you're right. Yeah, I just thought it was an interesting point, because I don't think anyone, because I don't actually think I, in any proactive sort of way, I actually ever do that with anyone. But it's interesting in the context of what we're talking about that, and I guess it'd probably be more applicable if there was something really obvious and sort of drastic that happened. Like, for example, actually, I can think of an example. Years ago, when I was talking to somebody from the United States, I was talking on Skype and I met them for the first time. And this was actually, this is like a pretty interesting example in the context of what we're talking about, because it really highlighted to me something that kind of came completely out of left of center for me. And I really didn't expect, and it kind of stopped me in my tracks. And it was quite uncomfortable, because I'm used to talking to people from overseas a fair bit, and from the United States, and people from New York. And I was introduced to this other lady, and we're talking for the first time. And this relates to slang, And so I'm just because we say in Australia a fair bit, no worries. And you go, you know what that means? Like we just go, oh, no worries. Like it's like a casual, it's a casual thing that's often thrown around. It has no like really often specific, you know, targeted meaning. It's just like, yeah, and you say something, I go, no worries, I'll get to that later, or I'll see you later, no worries. You know, it's sort of like that. It's I'm slotted in often. It's used all the time here in Australia. Anyway, I'm talking to this lady and we're just talking about, I can't remember what the conversation was. It was about her future project. And she said something and I was like, no worries. And she, and there was this big long pause, which was probably not very long, but to me, it seemed like an eternity, where she then must have been probably about 4 seconds, which is an awfully long time, like when you're talking to somebody. And I was just like, and then she went, what are you worried about? And I was like, and I couldn't say anything. And I just said, I'm not worried. And then for a moment, and I was like, okay, so I'll just think about it. And I was like, it's just a term we use in Australia all the time. It's like no worries or like it's okay. And she was like, but I don't understand why you're worried. What are you concerned about? And I was like, oh, no. Look, and I tried to explain in vain. It was really funny, but I'd never encountered anything like that before. But I thought as a sort of a example of things that, like, especially now in the context, I hadn't actually thought about that for years, that on that particular thing. But there's a great example of, you know, two English speaking people who speak English. Well, they speak American and we speak English. We speak Australian English and English speak English. And you speak English in your way, but there was still the,
in my way,
in your way.
Many people speak English in their way.
They do, yeah. And New Zealanders speak English in their way, and sometimes people can't understand them. They're like, "Excuse me," and they're Irish. But a great simple example. Even though the rest of the conversation was like really normal, it was like everyone completely understood each other just fine, except for this one thing. And then it threw a part of the conversation out completely. Yeah. And I hadn't actually thought of that for a long time. But like when it comes to the types of businesses who benefit more, like are there businesses that benefit more from what you're talking about than other businesses, like in terms of size or type of business?
Well, when it comes to the international part, I mean, nowadays, even small businesses have remote workers across the world. So really nowadays, it's not about the size of the organization, but it's about where they have the workforce, where the international communication piece can play a more important role. Regardless, communication is key. And if we apply these things that we've been discussing today, so with our partners, even with our family, with our friends, colleagues, team members, then there is an opportunity that we can improve our relationships and how we communicate with them and how we're being perceived by them as well. Overall, communication, again, is key, as we've been speaking about. And I wouldn't say there is a size of the organization, as I mentioned before. It depends on where they are in the world, their workforce. Yeah. But then there is one thing, you know, quickly when it comes to business communication that I always invite the people that come to my sessions to do. The ABC of communication, especially when it comes to business. A, accuracy in what you're communicating. When you're accurate, you sometimes take stuff out that is not required. Brief, you don't need to fill in gaps or anything. You can be brief and you can be clear. So A, B, C, accuracy, brief, and clarity. Stick to those three and it can help you be more compelling when you communicate, when you present a case, when you explain something.
That's another one
for people to write down.
There's a lot of great little gems in here, I can tell you, Jose. Is that also because, like, outside of the obvious things that you just said with ABC, is that also because it helps to remove any potential confusing things for people that, like what I was like saying before, like me not, including just thoughtlessly, because I do it all the time, including normal, slang that I might use that I, even in a scenario where I just would never have thought that that would have ever been anything that would stand out. I was surprised that that occurred. But is that also like having things simpler helps to not include potentially confusing things to people?
Yeah. At least at the very early stages, once you begin to build that connection and you begin to understand each other better, then you can begin to incorporate more things. And that's what makes things interesting as well, because we begin to learn more about the culture and all of that. But then it's about being intentional with the communication, being to the point. What is it that I want the person to do after I communicate with them? Or what do I want them to think about? And then if you want more connection, then it's important that you simplify things.
Yeah, absolutely. How about humor? How important is that? Or how good and how not good could that be in what we're speaking about? Like, where does that fit in or not fit in?
Okay, going about simplifying things. In order to be influential, you can be approachable, okay, and credible. And you can move between the two. So when you're approachable, you're that kind of likable person, open, people like you. There is a level of trust that gets developed here, okay, that gets built. And then when you're credible, people tend to respect you. They come to you because they're seeking advice, okay? So that's how people tend to be perceived. And as you begin to move between the two, you become, as I said before, more influential. And for a moment, Saul, remind me again, I got lost lost in the moment. Remind me again, what was your point? Because I lost it. I was about to connect it with something else.
Oh, it was just humor, where like humor fits in.
Yeah, humor. Perfect. Yeah. Humor. Perfect. So you will see that approachable people tend to have a type of humor. Credible people tend to have another type of humor. Humor needs to be used with purpose, okay? And never to be sarcastic, because people may not understand sarcasm. It can be a little bit passive-aggressive on occasions. Sure. Humor shouldn't be used to avoid a confrontation, okay, or to avoid having a good conversation, because you fear something and then you bring humor into it and then it kind of looks silly. Humor can be used very effectively. Okay, those are the cases where I wouldn't suggest you use humor. But then the places where it can be used very effectively is to provoke responses in people, for example. And I'll give you something for instance. And this is applied to leading or to communication, well, in business and in any other area of life. People come to me on occasions, I hate to speak in public, I'm so frightened about it. And on occasions with humor, I can just go on, wow, yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. So by you being here, you are just here in this session about public speaking presentation skills because you want to listen to me, but you don't want to learn anything. Is that it? Oh, no, it's not what I meant. Okay, so what is it? You see, this is another angle where you cannot provoke. you get people to think about things, but not so heavily. Mm. You become amused about people's responses. There is another level of humor. It's not about cracking jokes. It's not about being funny. There can be an element of humor as well when you, you know, you use your energy, your engagement.
Mm.
But it has to have a purpose. So otherwise, don't use humor for the sake of it because it will break rapport. So be very, going back to intention, be very intentional with it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so at the, we said, I guess at the start of the podcast or before we began, I said to you, Jose, at the end of the podcast or near the end of the podcast, I'm going to ask you, Jose, to tell everybody a quote. And you said, okay.
Yes. I say yes. I will have a quote. Do you
want that quote? So now the time has come.
The time has come for the quote.
Yes, I'm waiting.
This is what I'm going to give you, people. Because I wrote it down as we were speaking. Intention will give you direction.
Mm.
How about that one, Saul? Do you like that one?
I do. Have you done that before or is this first time?
No, this one came up today in the conversation and I wrote
very
it down.
Good.
Intention gives you direction and I liked it. What do you think? You like
it? I do.
We'll change it.
No.
We'll change it. You're okay?
Well, I like it because it sounds true.
Well, it sounds true. At least it's come from a
and it could be
from
true.
A good place. It could be true, yeah. If you apply it, maybe. If you have intention, it can give you direction. I mean, give it a go, people. Practice, implement.
Did it come from your heart?
Yeah. I mean, good ideas, I like to believe they come from, you know, my God, my heart, and then they get rationalized, and yeah, they make sense. Let me say it.
It went from your heart to your mind, and then it came out your mouth.
Yes, that's the way it should go, at least coming out of your mouth anyway.
Yes, as it does quite often with you, I imagine, being a coach.
Yeah, well, and you as well being a podcaster. I mean, you get all of those ideas and they reach the microphone, I hope.
Right. Stating, there's nothing like stating the obvious. It's the best way to communicate.
Hey, at least we make sure that, well, this is, I mean, once we have the connection, we can joke around. This is a different type of humor.
Yeah, true. Yeah, this is a living example. This is like
exactly.
It's like a workshop of sorts.
leading by example all the way. We become the role models today. So,
if only, yeah, if only that was true, that would be great. Yeah, I'm not looking for that, by the way. I'm not looking to be a role model. I would never do that. That would be.
Yeah, no, I'm not looking to be a role model. I do want to be a source of ideas and inspiration, but definitely ideas for people to consider.
Yeah. I have a feeling, Jose, that being in some sort of event or workshop of yours would be a lot of fun. I had the sneaking suspicion that it could be fun. Is that true?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. I mean, that's humor that I bring to the sessions and energy and engagement. Yes, because you know what? I like to have fun.
Mm.
But intentional fun. Jesus, that's going to be the word today. Have intentional fun.
Yeah. Yeah. After this podcast, I'm going to be thinking about that and trying to make sense of it. I know what it means, but I'm probably going to be thinking about that. Yeah. I like that one. That's the second quote. Well done. He just did that on the fly.
Bam. Yes. intentional fun. Yeah. There we go. I'm writing it down.
That's for free. That's free.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So we've covered like a fair bit of ground, explained things really well. But you explain things really well. I just listen and ask some other questions. But like it's just what I do. I ask questions and have conversations.
My friend, but if you think about it, listening in order to ask good questions, it's what enabled this conversation.
Yes, true. Another revelation, and a good one too, is that, so have you got any on a parting note, even though we've covered a bunch of stuff, do you have anything, last sort of in particular thing that you'd like to share with everyone, like a something that you feel like we haven't quite covered, or even something that you want to reemphasize as like a parting point, parting really important sort of thing to say?
And it can't
relate to world peace.
It cannot relate to world peace.
No, that's
then,
it.
Then there is something about, well, what's coming to mind now, fear, which is one thing that can stop us from taking action on a regular basis and from, you know, achieving some of the things we want. I have this FEAR acronym, using the word fear. Mm. And every time, and it happens in communication, especially, that's why sometimes we incorporate humor or we avoid things. Mm. Or we don't say what we really mean because there is an element of fear, fear of not being accepted, fear of not receiving the message in the way we intended. We experience fear when we go and speak in public. We tend to experience a level of fear of being ourselves.
Mm.
So what I want you to think about next time you experience fear, which is on a daily basis, very likely, then face your fear. Okay? Face it, first of all. Know you have it. Great. Face it. Then embrace it. That'd be the E for fear. Embrace that fear. Analyze it. Understand it. The A, act regardless. Act on that fear. Do something about it. And then the R, rethink, which is similar to reflect.
Mm.
You've done it. You've acted regardless of that fear. You decided to take a step. And then think about how it went, what you could have done differently, and get ready for the next occasion that situation takes place. And you'll be more prepared. You will still have fear, but your fear would have evolved and turned into something else. And then that way, you're always moving forward. I don't really believe as human beings that we are fearless. That's why I don't like to use the fearless word. Instead, I like to use, deal with your fears. Act. Be fearful. No, fearful is no. Experience your fear and do it anyway.
Is
and then you have the acronym.
I just had a thought then too. I know this is, oh, we were wrapping up, and now the conversation is rebooted because now I'm thinking about more stuff. Damn it! But is fearlessness? I just had this thought. Is being fearless actually just when people are better at confronting their fears? Like, is that actually fearlessness?
It can be, but the way I read fearless is that you don't have it.
Yeah, I guess that is the established thought, but it's obviously not true, like, because it's kind of impossible people do. But I'm just another quick question there too. Is there a step before confronting your fear? Because I imagine there would be at least some people listening to this going, oh yeah, that's easy saying confront your fears, but is there like a little helpful tip to like even do that, like the step before, like how do you do that instead of just going like, okay, confront your fears? People will say, well, easier said than done. Like, how do you actually do that? It's probably dependent on the fear, of course, but any tips there? Any last
absolutely.
Tip?
Absolutely. Yes. Imagine that fear represents 100% of that fear, whatever that might be. Well, you decide on what portion of that fear you want to act on. Let me give more context to this. Imagine that you want to become better at presenting or speaking in public, for example.
Mm.
Of course, act on your fear and go and present in front of 100 people tomorrow, that's not very realistic, is it? So you won't do it. You won't take that action because it's just not real. I mean, your level of fear is going to be so high that it's not going to enable you to. Or potentially you do it, but then you know, your mind goes blank, you struggle, you don't finish your sentences. Okay? So remember when I said do a little bit every day, stretch yourself a little bit every day, do a thing that scares you a little bit every day so you begin to build the muscle. Okay? So instead of speaking in front of 100 people, how about an idea? You go and record yourself, at least to start with. Or you speak in front of the mirror. Or you record yourself and send it to a friend to give you feedback. Or you speak in front of two friends. Or you speak in front of your cat, your dog, your pet, your goldfish. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, exactly.
What does that represent out of the total fear? Because the moment you begin to take action, you begin to make progress. And next time, after you've spoken in front of your goldfish, you're very likely to speak in front one person, in front of one person. Yeah, and then you take it from there. Every time it's going to be scary, but, and again, for me, every time is scary. If I'm going into a new audience or a larger audience, that's fine. But, you know, I've got the practice of dealing with it because I've been doing it consistently. So consistency is another element to overcome your fears, one step at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just like sport again. It's just the practice is your memory.
Just like
your,
sports again.
Your muscle memory for your mind.
Build a muscle, although this one is gone. The bicep is gone, but hey. build the other muscle, the mind.
The mind muscle. And so what's the best, as our last thing, what's the best way for people to find out about you online? Jose, where do they go? What's the best places for them to find out more?
Thank you, Saul. People, have you heard of Google?
No.
This search engine. Well, it's a big thing nowadays.
Google.
Google, yeah. Well, all you need to do, you go on Google, type my name, Jose Ucar, J-O-S-E-U-C-A-R, and you're going to find my website. You're going to find my world-class communicator online course. You're going to find my book, Global Influence. You're going to find videos. You're going to find resources. You're going to find interviews. You're going to find podcasts. You're going to find Soul. There you go. Very easy.
Now
I'm also on social media.
I'm in the fold. I'm in the fold now. I'm a part of you. Soon to be.
Well, we are connected. So from now on, we will always be connected.
By a little tiny string across one side of the world to the other.
Hey, we made it happen and we are conveying our message.
That's exactly
to
right.
To the masses.
To the masses, to the people of the world.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Jose. It's been really great, really fun. And you are quite a good communicator, I must say.
Can you imagine? Yeah, I want to help people with communication, but I'm actually really bad at it. But you know what?
You've got a really weird voice, and you're a really good communicator, but your voice sounds really odd.
My voice sounds odd. Is it my voice or my accent?
No, not you, but just imagine a person, and your voice sounds nice, but like somebody who was a good communicator, but they had a really funny voice and it was hard to listen to.
Well, yeah, that could be it as well.
That's a funny story, or maybe not.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. Maybe that's another story for another episode.
I'm only putting that in as a great example of what not to do. That's the only reason why I said that.
So be a good communicator and have a good voice.
That's right.
Well,
that's
just so you know, we can develop everything. I've been taking singing lessons as well in order to improve, you know, parts of my tonality.
Your range.
So there is, the range. So there is always something you can do if you want to improve. So, hey, you know, I think that's a good message as well. Come on, people.
It is great. And so with that in mind, after all of that, that wonderful conversation. Thanks again, Jose. That's it for today, everyone. Thanks again for listening into our little podcast, and say goodbye, Jose. Say goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye, everybody. It's been a pleasure. Big love, and keep in touch.
See everyone. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Grow Your Business. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at the Grow Your Business podcast.